This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Awakening Media presents The Four Great Imams by Dr. Hisham Al-Awadi.
As a people's man. Number two, how generous he was. We will talk about his housemate. We will talk about his social advisors. And I conclude part three with what I call jokes. Some jokes that Imam Shafi'i told. To understand Imam Shafi'i, social character, we have to recognize two things. His lineage as a Sayyid and as a Hashemite in a society that venerated Hashemites, and as a poor Hashemite. Mix the two together, what do you have? You have a person who feels dignified, honorable, noble, respected, yet modest, yet he interacts with society, yet he speaks to the layman. He is not attached to the Abbasites, or to the Alawites, or to the ruling elites, or to those of social prestige, because he is poor. Because the neighborhood that he lives in makes him closer to the poor. To me, what constitutes the personality of Imam Shafi'i, in addition to what we have discussed, in addition to the mother, in addition to his teachers, etc., etc. So, what do we end up with? We end up with one thing, a sociable figure. What could be more sociable than saying, لَيْسَ سُرُورٌ يَعْدِلُ صُحْبَةَ الْإِخْوَانِ ولا غم يعدل فراقهم. He says, Imam Shafi'i, there is no joy equals to the companionship of brothers, and to the sisters, to the companionship of sisters. And there is no sadness equals to leaving them or leaving their companionship. He is linking joy and sadness with human beings, with society. You remember what we said about Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir and others that warned of society, warned of mingling, integrating too much with society. Imam Shafi'i is saying to you, no, integrate, but be careful of the negative influences that we will come to discuss later, because he's not making it open. But I chose to begin Imam Ash-Shafi'i, the society, with this saying, because it represents to me Imam Shafi'i, the social being that feels joy when he meets people like you, and he feels sad when he leaves people like you. Imam Shafi'i loved people. Imam Shafi'i loved you. Loved me? Loved us? Yes. When he used to pray in the night,
when he comes across a verse that talks about hellfire. He says, "Oh Allah, I seek refuge from hellfire. Oh Allah, on behalf of the Ummah of Muhammad." We all seek refuge from hellfire. When he comes across a verse that talks about Jannah, he says, "Oh Allah, make me among the people of Jannah and the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Jannah." You remember the Bedouin that came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The Bedouin that urinated in the mosque? And he was upset with the attitude of the companions. And Rasul sallam, after giving him the lesson of how to respond or how to behave when you are in the mosque, what did he do? What did he say? How did he express his gratitude? He raised his hand and said, "Oh Allah, forgive me and forgive Muhammad and no one else." This is how some hearts could be, how small some hearts could be. Of course, Rasulullah at that instance forgot the urination. Now you know, but I'm going to teach you another lesson. I'm going to teach you to have a bigger heart than this. Imam Shafi'i was aware of this hadith. And he said, "I want to also have a bigger heart, like the heart that Rasulullah wished that every Muslim would have." Brothers and sisters, you see what I'm getting at? Those people, they learned the hadith, not to check whether it's hadith strong or da'if. Yes, of course, that was in the equation, but that was not the only number in the equation. Another number, far more important, is to apply the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ahmed ibn Hanbal, whom I'm trying to introduce gradually but surely to you, he says, "ما كتبت حديث إلا وسعيت لأن أفعله." I have never written a hadith in my life without aiming, speaking, trying, aspiring to apply it. And he wrote ألف حديث, probably something like a million hadith. You have to have a big heart. You have to learn to have a big heart. You have to learn even if you act. Go today, in the evening, in the night, and pray for all of us. And pray for the people that you think you don't like. Pray for them before you pray for the people that you like. It's probably expectable to pray for the people that you like. Imam Shafi'i, and as I mentioned to you, Imam Shafi'i was so sensitive that when he sees his brother ill, he gets ill. Now extrapolate. When I see you poor, I feel sorry for you. When you need to get married, I help you out if I can. When you have exams and you need someone to help you in revision, if I can, I will help you. I should have the same feeling as you're feeling. There is no point of me saying to you, "Assalamu alaikum, akhi," and "ukhti," and there is no ukhuwa. I once told some of the brothers and the sisters, I said to them, "Look, the Sahaba, when they met each other, they did not used to say brother. Umar al-Khattab did not used to say, brother Abu Bakr, how are you doing?" And Abu Bakr would reply, "Yes, brother Umar, how are you doing? I'm fine." "No. Jitu ila Umar ibn al-Khattab. I came to Umar ibn al-Khattab. I came to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq." But there was brotherhood. Practical brotherhood. So he says, Imam Shafi'i, "I visited my sick brother, my ill brother, and I became ill once I saw him. And I went back. And when he visited me, only then did I recover as a result of looking at his face. مَرِضَ الْحَبِيبُ فَعُدْتُهُ فَمَرِدْتُ مِنْ حَدَرِي عَلَيْهِ وَأَتَى الْحَبِيبُ يَعُودُنِي فَبَرِئْتُ مِنْ نَظَرِي إِلَيْهِ." Imam Shafi'i, رضي الله عنه, loved people, loved the society, loved even those who were opponents of him. He says, "مَا كَلَّمْتُ أَحَدًا إلا أحببت أن يوفق. I never debated with anyone and have not wished him success. Today, we squeeze our minds, our brains. We try to become as articulate as possible to shut up the opponent. And when the opponent makes a single mistake, we scandalize and publicize as if we are in a battlefield. Imam Shafi'i tells us the etiquette and the manners of debates. He says, مَا نَذَرْتُ أَحَدًا فَأَحْبَرْتُ أَنْ يُخْطَئِ. I never debated with someone and was haunted by the idea that he makes a mistake, that he commits an error. I never debated with someone and loved that he makes a mistake. Muhammad Abu Uthman, his son, his eldest son, Muhammad, was called, or his kunya was Abu Uthman. He says, ما سمعت أبي يناظر أحدا قط فيرفع صوته. I have never heard my father ever debate anyone and he raises his voice. Look, when a student reports the attitude of his teacher, we can understand that. But when the son reports the attitude of his father, what does that tell you? It's telling you that this son has got a role model that he would like to emulate. We would then not expect Muhammad Abu Uthman, the son, in the future when he debates, he raises his voice. Why? Because my father, may Allah have mercy on him, he did not used to do that. Brothers and sisters, sons today, daughters today, they have to see a role model, not just in debating. The son must see that the father respects the mother. The daughter must see that her mother is respected. Because if she sees that her mother is abused, she will fear that one day when she grows up and gets married, her husband will abuse her. We want a healthy generation. Imam Shafi'i provides us with a healthy advice, with a healthy character. Imam Shafi'i was generous, extremely generous, and make no mistake, generosity has nothing to do with your, with how much you have in your pocket. Generosity is an attitude. It is not conditional or not connected or not based or dependent on your financial status. And that's why Rasulullah says, وَتَبَسُّمُكَ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. Look, broadening for you. Rasulullah, what is he doing? Rasulullah is broadening for you the concept of sadaqah. Oh, you who think that sadaqah is only financial, and no, smile. It's free, it's free. Smile, because this is sadaqah. The important thing is that you have to be generous to smile. I am saying this because Imam Shafi'i was poor, yet he was generous. Generosity. It's a matter of me teaching society a lesson. That Imam Shafi'i is generous, Imam Shafi'i is a scholar, and scholar means attitude, scholar means character. Scholar does not only mean knowledge and giving khutbah jum'ah and shouting and doing, no, scholar means generous. When he came from Sana'a, Yemen, to Mecca, he was given some money. How much was he given? 10,000 dinars, by way of a gift. Brothers, 10,000 dinars, not dirhams, dinars. Like, dirham is a pence, and dinar is a pound. He put the 10,000 dinars on a large cloth, and called the poor and distributed the entire 10,000. That's why I say to you, that those people, if they wanted to be extremely wealthy, they would have, including Ahmed ibn Hanbal, as we will see. Ahmed ibn Hanbal and others, thousands of money to them didn't mean nothing. They were not unemployed, and that's why they were harsh over society, they had financial complex problems, etc. No, no, it wasn't like that. It was that they were in control of themselves. Do you know how you can turn the face of a Shafi'i red? Do you know how you can embarrass a Shafi'i? Is when you ask him for money and he doesn't have money. He turns red out of embarrassment because he gets embarrassed when he says to someone, no. Once a man asked him for some money, he got very embarrassed and his face became red. He said to the man, give me your address, so that when I go home, I will send you some money. And that's exactly what has happened. Imam Shafi'i lived as a poor person. He went from Mecca to Medina, met Imam Malik. Imam Malik died. When Imam Malik died, by the way, Imam Malik funded and supported Imam Shafi'i while Imam Shafi'i was in Medina. So when Imam Malik died, Imam Shafi'i thought that this is the time now to look for a job. He was given a post in Yemen. So he traveled, left Medina and went to Yemen. The wali of Yemen liked him because he was just. So he was made the governor of Najran, which is now in Saudi Arabia, south part of Saudi Arabia. If you go to Najran, they are very close in culture to the people of Yemen. He was made governor. But it seems that the people of Najran did not like him. Why? Because they were corrupt, and they wanted a corrupt ruler. They wanted a corrupt governor. So the elites were unhappy with him. And when you are unhappy with someone, what do? You try to spread rumors about him. Today, in the West, if you want to assassinate the character of someone, you can say he's a man of bid'ah. And that is enough to make people get away from him. At that time, if you want to assassinate the character of someone, you send a letter to the rulers in Baghdad, say to them, this person is from the Khawarij, or from the Alawites, or from the Mu'tazila. So Imam Shafi'i was accused of being a Shia, basically. The political elites wrote a letter to Harun al-Rashid. Now we are in the period of Harun al-Rashid. Abu Ja'far al-Mansur was Abu Hanifa and Malik. Shafi'i is quite young, so Harun al-Rashid. But Harun al-Rashid is a wise person, wise man. They say that Harun al-Rashid used to go to Hajj every year and give lots of sadaqah. And every night he would pray 300 rak'ah, 300 times. They said to Harun al-Rashid, the political elite, we have in the city 9 troublemakers. One of them is extremely powerful. His tongue can threaten the dynasty more than the swords and the weapons could. Who is that person? Of course, Imam al-Shafi'i. So Imam al-Shafi'i straight away was arrested, put in the chains, and taken to Baghdad. So, Medina, Yemen, Najran, Baghdad. And he stood before Harun al-Rashid. And based on his eloquence and manners, he was able to rescue himself. But he was able also to rescue himself because someone interceded to help. Do you know who? Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. Alhamdulillah, he was in the meeting at that time. He was so powerful and respected by Harun al-Rashid. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I know this person. He's far away from being a troublemaker. And Harun al-Rashid decided to release Imam Shafi'i only that, but he gave him 50,000 dinars. 50,000 dinars, not 10,000 that he put in a cloth and asked people to come and take. 50,000. Imam Shafi'i took the money. Just outside the palace, when he left the palace, usually there are some poor people next to the guards, etc. He gave it all. He gave all the money. One of the guards told Harun al-Rashid. So Harun al-Rashid said to him, give him some money in your name. Then he went, that person, to Imam Shafi'i, with some money. He said, I did not accept the gift from the senior officials, then I would not accept the gift of those who are lower in rank. And this, by the way, was the same philosophy of Imam Malik. He accepted the gift of the Khulafa because the Khulafa were in control of the budget of the state. But he did not accept gifts from lower junior officials, because that means it's coming from the pockets of those junior officials, because they do not control the budget of the state. You see, you have to make a difference. And that is why I would say to you that Imam Malik was not simply accepting donations. And who did he live with? You already know. Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. What did they do when they were living together? Imam Shafi'i read the entire books that were written by Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani during the 2 years that he spent in Baghdad. So he has got the fiqh of Hijazis, i.e. the fiqh of Imam Malik, and the fiqh of the Iraqis, i.e. the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Shafi'i wrote lots of poetry in which he gives advice of how to deal with people and how to deal with society. And I thought that this is very useful when we come to understand the social dimension, the social dimension in the character of Imam al-Shafi'i. And Imam al-Shafi'i gives us some guides on how to deal with the foolish people, the silly people, the abusive people. He says, the best thing is to ignore them. And he says, the more they abuse you, the more you should be patient. In the same way that the incense, when it burns more, it brings more scent. One contemporary scholar said, when you deal with people, be like a tree. They hit you with stones, and you reply back with fruits. He says, ignore the foolish, because when you answer back, you release him, and you make him happy. But if you ignore him, he dies out of anger. Believe it. He says, that even medically speaking, marrying from the same family brings weak-minded children. He funds and he helps his students when they want to get married. He helped his student, Rabia ibn Sulaiman, to pay the dowry of 30 dinar, where Sulaiman paid only 6 and Imam Shafi'i paid 24. Imam Shafi'i appreciated human emotions. Once in a circle he was sitting, a young boy came and wrote a letter asking for a fatwa. And he sent him the letter in secret. Imam Shafi'i took the letter, read it and smiled, and wrote a reply, and closed the letter, and asked his students to pass it to the questioner. The questioner opened the letter, smiled, closed the letter, put it in his pocket and left. The students are dying to know what is this all about. They went, probably they've beaten up this poor boy. boy outside the mosque. They went and said to the boy, what did he write and saying what he was supposed to do and say and what he believed he should do and say, but was doing it in a tender way, in a way where he can attract people. This is the role of the faqih, brothers and sisters. The role of the faqih, look, when you are ill, you go to the doctor. You don't fear that the doctor will do something bad to you because you trust the doctor. You just leave yourself to the doctor. The faqih, the proper word of the faqih, the proper mission of the faqih is that he is the doctor in your deen. You go to him and you ask him, you trust him, you tell him what's happening in your family relations. He will not scandalize you. He will not publicly. If you send him a letter, he will reply to you back. He will not expect you to be an angel. The boy is saying to him, I am dying because I love this girl. What shall I do? And he goes once. The fact that he went three times means that there is this relationship. He didn't run away. Yes, he might have been scared by the students, but not by the teacher. Not by the teacher. He says, Imam Shafi'i, the best friend is that who, when he sees you commit a mistake or do a mistake, not in deen, in general things, he covers you. He protects you. He advises you probably, but in private, he does not scandalize you. I know people that are very good friends of each other. And when they get angry of each other, everyone goes the other direction and begins to scandalize each other. He told me, and I told him, and he told me, and one, the secret, and this, no. Friendship is based on confidentiality. He says, if such a brother is not available, then go, he says, then to live alone is better for you. Imam Shafi'i found this friend for himself. Who was this friend? Al-Imam Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah. Shatawtu ila Waqi'in su'asibdi fa'arshadani ila tark al-ma'asi wa'anba'ani bi'anna al-ilma nurun wa nurullahi la yuhda li'asi. I complained to my friend, Imam Waqi', how my memory is becoming weak and weak. He said to me, leave the sins, because the sins are extinguishing the light in your heart. For knowledge is light, and Allah does not give His light to a dark heart, darkened by the sins. Brothers and sisters, you need friends like that. You need friends like that. Friends in need is a friend indeed. But in need meaning what? If you are hot-tempered and you need a cigarette, he takes his packet and says, take one, let's go for a drink. No, in need meaning he leads you to the right way. He helps you out, yes. He says, brother, I think your memory has something to do with sins. Do not commit a sin. It happened that Imam Shafi'i, as they say, looked accidentally at an ankle of a woman. At an ankle of a woman. Because at that time they did not have skirts, you see. So women were covered. But even looking at an ankle was enough to weaken the memory of Imam Shafi'i, who read and memorized Al-Muwatta in 9 days. Imam Shafi'i said something, and we end here with his sayings. Talk about the jokes in a minute. Imam Shafi'i said something very important for us. He says, we continuously criticize our time. We continuously say our time is bad. I wish I was living among the companions. But he says, the problem is not with our time, the problem is with us.
back, but looking at the future and looking at ourselves. This course is not intended to make you go backward in terms of your time and to pull your aspirations and to twist your head towards the back. But I'm doing that insofar as this history is used and utilized to make us better people that can reform our future. This is what I thought was not jokes by the way, in the sense jokes in the sense of things that break the ice, as they say. I wanted to mention this to tell you something, that those imams were not always grimming and saying, "Oh Allah, oh brother, fear Allah, ittaqillah." They smiled, they laughed with each other, they had good time with each other within the boundaries of Islam. Once Imam Shafi'i got ill, Al-Rabi' ibn Sulaiman came to visit him. So he said to him, "How are you now, Ya Sheikh?" He said, "I feel tremendously weak, Imam Shafi'i." So Al-Rabi' said to him, "Qawwa Allahu da'fak." May Allah strengthen your weakness. May Allah strengthen your weakness. Al-Shafi'i smiled and said, "If Allah strengthen my weakness, I am dead. But say, may Allah strengthen you against your weakness." SubhanAllah, even in the Arabic language, you have to be precise. And Imam Shafi'i, he's ill. You know, what are we talking about? Just let it go. No. Just let us smile and let us educate and let us teach. But teach in a smiling way. He sits sometimes with his students and tells them stories. Because don't forget, we are talking about someone who enjoys stories, who enjoys poetry. So he knows lots of stories, Imam Shafi'i. He says, once there was a king. This king was fat. He can't move. He can't do anything. He brought all people of medicine to help him out, give him medicine, do anything for him. But they couldn't. Then he brought someone who was a wise man, who also, in addition to being a doctor, he knows the signs of stars. And by the way, knowing the signs of stars could lead some people to know something about when will you die. Just hold on. Let me continue. Then he brought this wise man. And he said to him, "Do you have any medicine?" He said, "Let me think." And then he looked at the sky and he said, "O king, before I give you the medicine, I just want you to realize one thing." He says, "What?" He said, "According to the stars, you will die after 1 month." And the king was shocked. The wise man said to him, who came from abroad, he said to him, "If you want, I can stay with you for this month. The course of treatment will take some time. If you think it's not working, you kill me. And if it's working, you release me, give me some money, and I'll go home." So he imprisoned him, put him in a small room, and confined him within a room in the palace. And during that month, he stopped the music and the parties that he used to attend, all snacks, chocolates, everything, sugars, because he was preparing for his death. He began to pray, he began to fast. After 28 days, he brought the man and he said, "There is now 2 days for me to live. Can we increase the course of treatment? Is there any hope that I can live more?" He said, "Okay. You know something? I don't know when I will die. So I don't know when will you die. But the only way to stop you eating too much is to make you upset.
And the only way to make you upset is to tell you that you are going to die. The king was extremely happy twice, because he's not going to die and because he was sinning by that time. I know, of course, some people, they say when we are upset, we eat even more. So this story is not good for him. Another king, another wali, another governor, probably less intelligent than this king, he had a problem. This wali, or this governor, his problem is that no one comes to visit him. The public meetings, the royal meetings of walis, are always, they always have important people, important officials, poets, man of literature, scholars. This wali, his public meeting is not attended by anyone. He comes like this in his meeting, and no one is there. No one is there. And he was very upset. So he brought one of the advisors and said, "Why people are not visiting me?" He said, "People are not visiting you. You know why?" He said, "Why?" He said, "The problem with you is that people don't fear you. When people fear you, they will come to visit you. You have to do something that will make people fear you." He said, "What can I do?" And he whispered in his ears. The next day, the guards entered into the mosque, took the imam from the mosque, chained him, and in public began to beat him up, beat him up, beat him up. And the imam was shouting, "What did I do? What did I do?" And the governor was coming and whispering at his ears and saying, "Please be patient, please be patient." And the next day, lots of people came to his meeting. It might be funny, it might not be funny. But to me, what this story tells, if anything, is that it seems that people get around you only when you are important, or when they love you too much, or when they hate you too much and fear you too much. In that case, it happens that they feared the king. Final story. Imam Shafi'i is sitting with his students and telling them a story that happened to him and a group of scholars. I have to say these silly things. By the way, scholars usually, they come in conferences, etc., and give serious speeches, public speeches, etc. But when they sit together, and you just put a tape recorder in the room, and the jokes they say, and you said, one scholar, and this is a real story, one scholar said to his students, if you know what I do in private, you would not sit 1 minute with me. Imam Shafi'i, in private, away from you, not in private alone, with his colleagues and family and his friends, he says, me and a group of scholars once went traveling, and we had two chickens with us by way of our lunch. So he says, we took two chickens. We reached some part in Yemen, and we left the two chickens. And a fox came, and we can see the fox from a distance. And he swiftly came and took one chicken and ran away. Then we waited for a while, and then we saw the fox again, coming again from another direction. And from a distance, it appears that he had the chicken that it stole, or the fox stole, in his mouth. So all of the scholars went after the fox to come and catch the chicken. The moment they reached the fox let go of the chicken, which they later discovered it was nothing but a fake chicken or a piece of wood. And then they went back, they saw the fox stealing the second chicken and running away. We laughed. Imam Shafi'i said, me and the scholars laughed and said to ourselves, even genius scholars, the fox will beat them in
قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه انه هو